Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he just divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. He got as far from the father as he could possibly get. He did everything he could. He squandered it in wild living. He just pleased himself. He gratified the sinful nature and lived anything that felt good, man, he was going to do it. He had his right to do that. So he went off to a far country and just lived, and it was great. Nobody could tell him he wasn't having a good time. It was wonderful. He was having a good time. Sure he was. After he'd spent everything, there was severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And all of a sudden now it wasn't so much fun anymore. It started to take its toll on his life, and he began to have needs. And while he had blinded himself to all of his needs before by squandering his wealth, now all of a sudden those needs were becoming very real. He was beginning to sink inside and to feel the pain of those things. There was a famine in the whole country. So he went out and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed pigs. This far country that's far away from the Father, the primary citizen in that country is Satan. And that's exactly what he does to us. When he finally has us by the throat, he lets us enjoy ourselves and have a good time in his country and spend our wealth. But finally, he sees we're about in need, the prime citizen of that country begins to grab us by the throat and say, I have the perfect place for you. It's in the pig pen. I'm going to throw you in with the pigs. And he said, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Satan doesn't treat his servants all that well after the initial honeymoon is over with. So now he's in the pig pen and it's degrading, it's pitiful. Now he has needs and he longs to fill his stomach and there's no way to get his needs met. And this foolishness and this pride in his life have now started to dwindle down. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of the hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Now, you can see the things that needed to happen in this man's life in order to come to the reality. He had to come to his senses. And it says that my father's men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. It's almost as if he's selfish. I want to have my needs met. In a sense, he's saying, I'm hungry. And he's admitting that. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Be honest enough to admit that you're hungry, that you don't have it all together, that you're not so hot, that you don't have all the great things going on in your life that you lead everybody to believe that you are. Admit that you're hungry. Swallow your pride. And Jesus said, if you'll admit that and you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll make a rest for you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so he came to his senses and he said, I'm starving to death. And I know that my father has food. What I'll say to my father is I've sinned against heaven and against you. He admitted his rebellion. It wasn't just simply a selfishness of I want God to meet all my needs. It wasn't that. Well, God will give me a better deal than I've got over here. But he had to come to grips with the fact that he'd sinned against heaven and he'd sinned against his father. There was open rebellion in his heart and he had to admit that. He didn't want to live in a pig pen. Can you understand that? He came to his senses and he realized that he was in the nature of his father and that the pig pen was not his home. He was living in it and he was longing to eat the corn husks and he was living like a pig in a pig pen. But something inside of him knew that that wasn't right. He had the nature of his father, and he was out of his element, and he knew that. He knew that, and he admitted that, and he hated being in the pig pen. He came to his senses. Now, if you have the nature of a pig, you'll find it very comfortable in a pig pen. If that's the way you think about things, and that's your life, and that's all you want, you'll find it very comfortable there, and you'll live nicely there, and you'll eat the corn husks. And you wallow in the mud. There isn't a person on planet Earth that was not created in the image of their father, was not created in the image of God. And somewhere down in the depths of your heart, you know that living for yourself is pig pen. And your pig pen might have wall-to-wall carpeting and a refrigerator and a microwave. And it might have an office and an Apple computer. But it's still a pig pen if it's not in the Father's house. And there's something crying out in your nature, if you have the nature of your Father, that says, no, it's not right. It's not right. I don't belong here. This isn't my life. I won't live this way. I've got to get out of here. And the Father will be gracious to give you that opportunity. But you've got to come to your senses. That's something you've got to decide. He got up and went to his father, but when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And notice what the father does. He's watching for him. He sees him while he's still a long way off. And that's what he does for us too. While we're still a long way off, no matter what we've done, no matter what we've got ourselves into, no matter how we've squandered our wealth, no matter how many corn husks we've stuffed in our mouths and lived like a pig, it doesn't matter. While we're still a long way off, the Father is watching for us. He's leaning out of his window, watching to see if he can see just the slightest glimpse of one that would return to him. And when he sees us on the horizon, he runs to us. Now that's the picture of this awesome God that whispered the universe into creation. As he's watching for the slightest sign of us on the horizon. And as soon as he sees us, he runs at us. Runs. He doesn't wait patiently with words of rebuke to blow us away with. Now I told you that that's what would happen. That's not our Father. Our Father has a love for us that is inconceivable and runs at us at full speed with open arms. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your servant. And he can't even finish what he planned on saying if you compare the two. The father interrupted him in the middle of his sentence before he got his little speech out and said, the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. They threw a party. Very undignified party, I'm sure. And there was a celebration because his son that was dead had come back to life again. This one that had squandered, his mind was captivated by all the trash in the world around him, wallowing in the mud, and yet just coming to his senses and saying, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, and I want to come back. I just want to be your slave. And he doesn't even let us get those words out. He said, you're still my son. I love you. And a robe for your back and a ring for your finger, in spite of the fact that you may have squandered all the wonderful things that he may have done for you in the past. He watches for us and he runs after us. Isaiah said it this way, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will freely pardon. Seek the Lord while he is near. While you've got this opportunity fresh in your mind, don't let it go. While he is near, while his presence is near, while his thoughts are very close to you, seek him while he's near. And it says, if you turn to the Lord and away from your evil thoughts and your wicked ways, turn towards him and he'll have mercy and he will freely pardon. Micah said, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant, his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. And you'll again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Who is a God like this that runs after his wicked sons and daughters? And that all he wants is just the slightest inclination that we're willing to turn from our evil thoughts, from our trash minds, and from the lives that have defiled his holiness. Just the slightest inclination that we're going to turn it around and give our lives to him. Who is a God like this who pardons sin, forgives the transgression, does not stay angry forever, delights to show mercy? It's his pleasure. It makes him excited to be able to show mercy to us. He delights in that. And He takes our sin and throws it out into the depths of the deep blue sea. Never to be discussed again, never to feel guilt over again, but forever gone, forever dealt with, forever drowned under the ocean of God's love and forgiveness. That's the Father that is calling you and searching for you on the horizon to come to your senses and to leave the pig pen behind.